The Senate impeachment trial of President Trump continues today with a long-awaited debate over whether to include new witnesses. There was a question about whether former National Security Advisor John Bolton would testify about his conversations with President Trump about Ukraine. But this afternoon, Senate Republicans appear to have the votes to block new witnesses. Susan Johnson is an associate professor of political science at UW-Whitewater. She's also assistant dean for student success. Susan, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me, Rob.
Well, we've been watching some Republican U.S. senators very closely today. It looks like a couple of key senators have said they're going to vote no on the idea of new witnesses. What are you looking at when you hear their arguments, their statements in favor of not taking these witnesses?
So the people you're referring to are Senators Lamar Alexander and Lisa Murkowski, I assume. And in the case of both of them, they came forward and indicated that they had seen enough in terms of what's already been presented, and they didn't see any need to see anything further in regard to witnesses. And both, I would say, went a step further, and they were also critical of the impeachment as it's gone forward, and said more than maybe I thought they were going to say about their dissatisfaction with the entire process.
Right. Senator Alexander, though, in his in a tweet thread, said he thought the House had made the case that President Trump had asked for foreign interference in the election. He thought that the quid pro quo concept had been established, but that he didn't think it rose to the heights of impeachment. Not exactly, I think, what President Trump wants to hear from Republican senators.
No, well, I guess that is true. He also did call the second article, though, frivolous.
Right.
I would say also that in addition to a tweet thread, he also issued a full statement, and I read it that way as opposed to 15 tweets. But I know Twitter is what we do now. But you're right in that sense that he did indicate that he thought that the House had shown a lot of, the misconduct and the like, but that, in fact, it was not something that he thought rose to the level of meeting the bar for removing a president from office.
And we had some response today to this news. Former chief of staff to President Trump, Marine General John Kelly, said he was happy to be speaking today. He said, if I was advising the United States Senate, I would say if you don't respond to 75% of the American voters and have witnesses, it's a job only half done. He said, going on, you open yourselves up forever as a Senate that shirks its responsibilities. What, Susan, do you think, if in fact they don't take witnesses, what do you think will be the response to this? What will people look at the role of the Senate in not taking witnesses here?
That's an interesting calculation that the Senate is making, because as you alluded to, there was a recent poll that showed 75% of Americans indicated they'd like to see witnesses. I think that when we think of a trial, when Americans think of a trial, they think of witnesses. And so I think that's helping boost those numbers. There was an earlier, I think it was a CNN poll that showed a similar number of people. So it's a large majority of people that would like to see witnesses. But it appears that the Republicans are making a calculation that the fact that they are not going to apparently allow for witnesses and are going to explain this away by saying that this does not lead us to the level of removing the president from office is something that is either going to be forgotten by voters or not considered as important as other kinds of things, decisions that they'll be making.
Talking to Susan Johnson from UW-Whitewater about the latest in the impeachment trial. I want to give a listen to Democratic House Manager Adam Schiff talking about the likelihood that witnesses won't come out, but that news keeps breaking. Here's a listen.
Just as we predicted, and it didn't require any great act of clairvoyance, the facts will come out. They will continue to come out. And the question before you today is whether they will come out in time for you to make a complete and informed judgment as to the guilt or innocence of the president.
And one of the things he's referring to there is the story from the New York Times today, more from that John Bolton book manuscript, where he says the president had directed him to set up meetings with Rudy Giuliani and the Ukrainian president, adding more detail to what John Bolton says he knows about the story. What do you think about that, Susan, the ongoing trickle of more information coming out as the Senate moves to wrap up the trial?
This has been really interesting, just watching you know, normally when you think of a trial, you think that you have the evidence and then you move forward with the evidence that you have when you start. But in this case, I mean, if you just think back to when the House began its hearings through this afternoon, new information seems, as you said, to continue to trickle out, and it's not inconsequential information. I mean, given all the talk about whether or not John Bolton should testify, would he be allowed to testify, and the fact that the Republicans throughout even the early parts of the process in the House were arguing that we've not heard from anyone who has spoken directly to the president, and now we have someone who was quite close to the president in terms of what his role was in the White House, and apparently indicating that he, in fact, was given directions, and now we're seeing that it was a couple months before what we thought, and yet we're hearing that now, but I don't know that it's not going to matter because they're voting on witnesses.
I want to listen to how the president's defense team is making the case against witnesses with Patrick Philbin here, deputy counsel to President Trump, talking a few hours ago.
There's a way to decide right up front in some quick way whether there's really a triable issue, whether you really need to go to all the trouble of calling in new witnesses and having more evidence and something like that. And there's not here. There's no need for that because these articles of impeachment on their face are defective.
So defective articles of impeachment, therefore no need for witnesses. Is that something you think swayed some Republican senators who might have been on the fence?
I think that some of the Republican senators that were on the fence are looking for a justification for a decision that, quite honestly, I think some of them had come to earlier in the week. And that's just my, you know, honest observation of things. And I don't know that much was going to be done to sway them either way. It's more about what can they be given to use as an explanation for why they're not supporting witnesses.
A lot of people looking at political calculations here and how a vote for or against witnesses, for or against impeachment is going to affect a particular senator. It seems, Susan, like that's going to be really hard to predict at this point. Is that right?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that we all like to try to read the tea leaves and, you know, see, well, how is Susan Collins voting for or against witnesses today going to matter in November? And, you know, we do the same thing with Brett Kavanaugh. We do the same thing all the time. And I think that when it comes to, you know, when it comes to the end of the day in November, there's going to be a lot of things that are going to come into play regarding whether she or others are reelected.
It seems very likely that the Senate will vote to acquit the president here and not remove him from office. That seems like a safe bet. One of the questions now is when. Susan, does it matter if that happens today or this weekend or Wednesday after the State of the Union? Is the timing that important as you see it at this point?
For the president, I think the timing is important. I think that he was hoping that there would have been a quick vote to acquit this evening, and I don't know if there will or won't be. The last I had heard was that there was negotiations going on as to how they were going to move forward after a vote on witnesses, and everything had been pointing to looking like it was going to be a quick vote. And then what I've seen this afternoon is that now Mitch McConnell is saying that perhaps there's a negotiation in place that they would allow for some closing arguments early next week, and then the ultimate vote next week, Wednesday, maybe. I think that short term, the president would have liked this to have been done today. He's giving a big interview to Fox, ahead of the Super Bowl. And he has a State of the Union address on Tuesday. So I think from his perspective, short term, he would have liked this to be done. In the grander scheme of things, it doesn't really matter.
We have, just while we're talking, it looks like the Senate did, in fact, vote against taking witnesses 51-49, which is, I think, the math we expected based mm-hmm. on Senators Alexander and Murkowski saying no witnesses. Now, we're not going to hear from John Bolton talking in front of the U.S. Senate in the impeachment trial. There's been some talk that just because the impeachment is done, it doesn't mean that House committees won't go back and look at some of these issues. Is it a possibility still that someone like John Bolton could get a subpoena from a House committee?
Oh, I think absolutely. I think that the House all along has continued to do certain investigations into the administration. And I think that it is very likely that given the fact that there was a vote to not allow for witnesses, that there will be a renewed call for some of these committees to, in fact, subpoena John Bolton and see if he shows up to testify.
Now, John Bolton had said he would be willing to come and testify if he was subpoenaed by the Senate. There's still the possibility that the Trump administration would try to block his testimony, citing executive privilege. What would you look for in a standoff like that?
Well, at that point, it could certainly, and it would likely go to the courts and then ask the court to make a determination as to what would be and would not be allowed as far as John Bolton's testimony. I think that most people who look at executive privilege claims would argue that this idea of total and blanket executive privilege isn't necessarily what is intended by executive privilege, and that there would be a case to be made that John Bolton should be able to present some information. Plus, we've got the manuscript that's already out there. So, I mean, a lot of this information is already in the public domain.
Susan Johnson is with us, Associate Professor of Political Science at UW-Whitewater. We're talking about the latest in the Senate impeachment trial. The latest news, the Senate has voted to not bring more witnesses in by a vote of 51 to 49. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What's your reaction to that decision to not bring in new witnesses? Disappointed, or do you agree with the president's counsels that there was no need for them at this point? Do you want to see people like John Bolton brought before House committees still to see what they have to say about what they know? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation about the latest in the Senate impeachment trial. Susan Johnson is with us, Associate Professor of Political Science at UW-Whitewater. Latest news, the Senate has voted not to bring witnesses in. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you make of the argument that Trump's conduct was inappropriate but didn't meet the high standard for impeachment? Do you think it's important that impeachment be bipartisan? What do you want to see happen next? Do you want to see more investigations? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on our callers now. Charlie is with us in Milwaukee. Charlie, hi.
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call. I guess my biggest disappointment with the impeachment process is that it was done so quickly that we still don't have answers to several very troubling questions. The first is, one, does your guest think that Trump will be able to continue to claim executive privilege, or will we litigate the extent of executive privilege for senior aides testifying in front of Congress? Two, do you think there'll be more investigations into the Biden family and if there was any corruption involved there? And three, will they investigate whether Trump was really doing investigation of Ukrainian corruption, or was this purely a political type of situation?
Charlie, thanks a lot for the call and a lot of big questions there. First, executive privilege, Susan, does this set any kind of precedent for the future if we end the impeachment at this point with, Charlie says, this unanswered question?
Yeah, no, I don't think we're going to set a precedent as far as executive privilege goes, because that hasn't been tested in this case or in some of the other hearings. And I think that the House decided to not try to subpoena witnesses that the president said he would claim executive privilege on, and they were criticized by some for not doing that. We may now see that battle play out in that, as we were talking about before the break, the House might now try to subpoena John Bolton and get him to testify, and then there might be that challenge to executive privilege. I think that until the challenges are litigated, we're going to continue to see him use those executive privilege.
And then Charlie's third question, we kind of talked about the House could well continue to investigate the questions about President Trump. As far as investigations of the Bidens, we've seen some senators, including Lindsey Graham, talk about maybe wanting to do investigations, but not separate from the impeachment process. Is that something you might expect to see from Republican senators?
You know, I don't know that we will. I think that there would have to be the will of several people in the Senate who would want to take that up. And I don't know that there's that much interest in the Senate, if they get past impeachment, to then begin hearings on the Bidens.
Thanks for the call, Charlie. We'll go to Sheila now in Madison. Sheila, hi.
Hello. Thanks for having my call.
Yeah, what did you want to bring up, Sheila?
Well, I'm extremely disappointed that they voted not to have witnesses. I really feel like what Mitch McConnell has done is, you know, not any different than jury tampering. It's it seems very, very evident. And I've watched almost all of this go down, and I haven't been able to do those things in the past, but I feel an obligation now that I have time to do it. And I try to keep an open mind about all of this, but when you listen to the arguments that are presented by the house managers, by the president's attorneys, and the evidence back and forth, but more importantly, the quality of the arguments that are made, you know, made on substance of, you know, considering the evidence versus the president's attorneys and their comments made on whether or not it's a legitimate, even legitimate to accuse the president of this, or whether the articles of impeachment are even, you know, valid in this case.
Sheila, thanks for the call. To Sheila's first point, Susan, she's disappointed that there won't be witnesses. I've seen some people sympathetic to President Trump saying, you know, without witnesses, if people don't view this as a complete trial, the idea that the president has been exonerated might be harder to sell.
I don't think he's going to have a problem selling his own exoneration, to be honest. And so I'm not so worried that from the perspective of the president and his supporters that they ever wanted witnesses. And so I think they're quite happy that the vote went as it went, and he'll claim a full victory.
Thanks a lot for that call. We'll go to Mike now in Milwaukee. Mike, hello.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I had great hopes for Obama. His first 3 or 4 months, he had control of the House and the Senate and the presidency, and he could have really pushed through a lot of new legislation. I had some hope for Trump that he'd be a little better president and a different president, yes, but, you know, it's clear that he has Mitch McConnell, the Senate, behind him. He's got the Republican Party. And basically, as long as Mitch McConnell is the gatekeeper, we don't have three branches of government. We've got two. And they've pretty much nullified the House of Representatives at this point. And so what I'm hopeful for now is that come November, that the people vote out the Republican Senate coming out like a tidal wave, like we did in 2018, and clean out. And hopefully, if the Democrats do get control of the House and the Senate, and perhaps the presidency, that they actually clean up what is a weakness in our Constitution.
Mike, thanks a lot for the call. Mike pointing toward the powerful role, Susan, of the Senate Republican majority and Mitch McConnell, both in slowing down President Obama and now in protecting President Trump. Can you talk about the importance of the role that Mitch McConnell as head of the Senate Republican majority has played?
Yeah, I think that when we look back historically at the leadership that Mitch McConnell has shown in the Senate, I think that he's going to go down as being one of the most powerful figures of the early 21st century. And we can think back to the Merrick Garland nomination in the last year of President Obama's term. We can think about what he's been able to do in terms of shepherding judicial nominees in place for President Trump under the Trump administration. And then we can think about what's going on currently with sort of the iron hand that he's held in terms of keeping his caucus mostly together and being able to say from the beginning, we will run this in a very efficient way, and President Trump will not be removed. And he's been running it so far right along the timeline that he promised.
Thanks for the call. Tom joins us now in Madison. Tom, hello.
Yeah, thank you. Two quick questions. How do you think this is going to affect the Senate races throughout the country in 2020? And has there ever been an actual witness testifying that to the innocence of Donald Trump? I mean, basically, we've had witnesses all say that he's guilty in different ways. We've had people refuse to testify or blocked from testifying. But I can't recall a single time from the Mueller report all the way on of anyone actually testifying to the innocence of Donald Trump.
Tom, thanks for the call. Briefly to that point of exculpatory testimony on behalf of the president?
Well, I think that that's a very interesting question, because what we've seen is quite the opposite. In fact, what we've seen has been a acknowledgement that what, in fact, he was accused of in terms of exerting pressure on the Ukrainian president in the case of the impeachment specifically, that in fact he did. And so it's now about motives, and then it's even kind of moved beyond motives to, if we think about what Alan Dershowitz said yesterday, was even if the motives are not necessarily pure, it's still okay. So no, to the caller's point, I've not heard anyone testify that it hasn't happened. It didn't happen.
And briefly, to his other point, we can't predict what this is going to mean for the Senate race, but what will you watch for in terms of impeachment and the Senate race between now and Election Day?
I think that in some of the races that are considered more of a toss-up, that the Democratic opponents are going to push really hard and remind voters that their Republican senators did, in fact, support the president and refuse to go along with witnesses and, you know, were unwilling to what they would say, offer a fair trial.
Susan, as always, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
That's Susan Johnson, Associate Professor of Political Science at UW-Whitewater. She was with us today to talk about the debate in the U.S. Senate over whether to have witnesses in the Senate impeachment trial. There is a vote in on that now. They will not take witnesses. The vote came down 51-49. Coming up Monday on Central Time, we'll get more on the final days of the impeachment trial of President Trump and what it could mean for the future of the presidency and the 2020 elections. We'll also talk to Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call about a lawsuit the state is joining after the Trump administration's rollback of chemical safety regulations. That and more coming up Monday here on Central Time.